Welcome to another episode of the Trendsetters Podcast. As I told you guys, I've been trying to pump out as many of these as I can. Before I introduce today's guest, I do want to make an exciting announcement. As I think I mentioned on last episode, me and a couple, my friends, have been working incredibly hard on a project we've been working on to see how we can help during this coronavirus crisis. Yesterday, we announced we launched the Making Lemonade Fund, which will be a charitable GoFundMe benefiting three organizations. It's going to benefit Feeding America, the Direct Relief Fund, and the CDC Foundation. We put that up yesterday. We're excited to push it out between different colleges and organizations. So definitely go check that out, bit.ly/lemonadefund. With that being said, I'm incredibly excited to introduce my guest today. I don't think I'm going to be able to get to everything she's done. There's too much to say, but I'm excited to have Candace Parker on the show today. She is a WNBA player for the Los Angeles Sparks. She was the first overall pick in the 2008 NBA draft. I mean, countless awards. She's a two-time MVP, a WNBA champion. In addition to that, she does a ton on the TV, entertainment, and business side. Candace, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So before we even go into your background, which I 100% want to hit on, what's been the last 2 weeks for you? That's sort of how I'm starting all of these. What's kept you busy? What's this impact been like on your life?
I think it was definitely has been a crazy time. I mean, I by no means think staying at home and out of precaution is the worst thing, you know, in the world. I think there's other people out there that are, you know, my sister-in-law, she actually is an internal medicine doctor. So just hearing her, obviously my personal doctor, just hearing what they're going through right now. So it's been crazy just in terms of the information overload. But in terms of just being at home, spending more time with my family, you know, being creative, I've taken up art now. I painted a couple pictures with my 10-year-old daughter, Layla, and just trying to stay active during this, you know, I mean, this is a time we really haven't had. And so it's just trying to stay busy.
Yeah, it's been insane. You create interests you didn't even know existed during this couple. My mom and my sister starting to do sewing together. It's wild the stuff you come up with, but it's cool to stay busy for sure. Going a little bit into your background, obviously you went to the University of Tennessee. You played basketball there and then were quickly drafted into the WNBA. What was that initial process like, just making the transition from the NCAA to the WNBA?
I think that initial transition was a little bit, it was more off the court. Because on the court, I had played, you know, with the Olympic team for a couple years before that, before turning professional. And then, you know, you practice with the pros a little bit. So you're not necessarily worried about the transition on the court, but off the court, I mean, moving from Knoxville, Tennessee, in a storied program like the Lady Vols, where pretty much, you know, your day is kind of given to you, you know, and
it's all programmed out. Yeah,
exactly. And you have people that watch over you and there's rules and regulations. And then you get drafted the next day, you're on a plane to Los Angeles to kind of start your career. And, you know, in college, you go out to eat together. Meals are planned for you. In the pros, it's not like that. Everybody gets per diem and you just do your own thing. So I think it was the toughest part for me, adjusting off the court. And
that's
making sure that, you know, I was able to kind of take the stuff that I learned from college and apply it and try to have that self-discipline. Because really that's what, you know, college is for, is to kind of instill those values so that you'll carry on when you become a professional. So that was the hardest thing for me, is that nobody was looking over my shoulder, making sure I ate pregame and didn't eat McDonald's.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah.
You know, that must be an interesting transition going from literally where you just show up where you're told, you're doing exactly what they tell you to, now you're an adult. And really the only thing that's changed is you slept overnight and you went from this world where you're showing up to where they tell you to, you're completely on your own and responsible for everything.
And it was a challenge, because I think initially it's in your mind, amazing. I don't have structure. I don't have people telling me what to do. I don't have a bedtime. I don't have a curfew where they take your phone.
Yep.
But you learn, you know, from your first three or four mistakes, or you're staying up late, or not eating correctly before pregame, or not getting up early enough, you learn you know, and I'm one of those people that kind of has to touch the fire to learn. I don't know if somebody tells me, hey, like, Candace, the fire's hot. I have to touch it.
To see, yep.
Yep, and that's what I learned in my rookie year, you know, just in balancing. I mean, on the court, yes, there were adjustments. It was difficult. You're playing with people that are significantly older than you. You know, connection on a different level with, I mean, at 22, my teammate, Lisa Leslie, I believe she was like 12 to 13 years older than I was. And so it's just a huge gap of your mindset versus, you know, players you're playing with. And I mean, it was, I learned a lot in my rookie year, I'll tell you that. But discipline and those that are able to stay disciplined and understand that, like, this is a job now. They're not going to tell you to go lift weights because if you don't go lift weights, somebody else is, and they're going to take your spot. And so that's just kind of how professional works.
And if you could go back and tell yourself one piece of advice now, after all the time you've spent in the league, if you could go back and tell yourself something your rookie year, what would that be?
I always say this when people ask me what I would do different or how I would act. And it doesn't have necessarily much to do with on the court. Again, it has to do with calm being a superpower. I think when we're younger, we don't understand that. We overreact to a lot of different things. We give our attention to stuff that really doesn't deserve it. And in 2 or 3 months, you have no idea what you were upset about, you know, if it's that small. And so I think the biggest thing for me is just taking a deep breath and understanding that you don't have to react to everything. You don't have to give your attention or your energy to every single thing. And as a kid, you know, as a young adult, you want to do great. You want to do all these great things, but really it's just maintaining composure and not giving everything your reaction.
And I think that's great advice from all of the athletes. And I think the same with Fortune 500 CEOs and most of the successful people I've interviewed is it all comes down to just not overreacting, staying calm, and sort of just following the pathway, not getting too high or too low. And I think that's something you're sort of illustrating here and sort of breaking off into that. For most of the athletes I've interviewed, they follow some sort of routine or habits, whether it be on a game day or just in their day-to-day life. Do you have any habits or things you do on a continuous basis that have helped in your success and prolonged success over the last decade?
Well, my rookie year is my only year that I did not have my child. And so my rookie year, I developed habits. I pregame napped. I would read before I would go to sleep. I would have my pregame meal. I realized I spent more time making the pregame meal. So I would change things up. And especially for home games, I would cook extra dinner and just have that as my pregame meal the day of the game. So just finding little tricks to give yourself extra time so that you can be focused for the game. Now, when my child entered the equation, all bets were off. You try to control things and, you know, prepare, but there's nothing that's going to prepare you for, like, everything is ready. You're ready to walk out the door and, you know,
nothing will throw you for a loop. Yeah, everything's expected.
Everything is expected. I mean, she messed up 3 outfits one time on the way out to a game. And you just kind of have to just laugh. And, you know, at the time, I don't know if I laughed, but right now looking back, you just kind of have to laugh and just realize that it's out of your control.
And what was that experience? Like, obviously your rookie year, I'd say you did pretty well. You won both rookie of the year and league MVP. But what was that transition like, just going from having less responsibility to now you're taking care of a baby and you're still pursuing your NBA career? And what was that balance like?
The balance was such that I try to really surround myself with amazing people. And going back to what we talked about with Tennessee, I learned a great deal at the University of Tennessee. And it really Coach Summit always talked about chasing people and passion. And if you chase those two things, you'll never fail. And I really listened to her. Those are the two things that I really kind of took with me. And that goes with raising my daughter. I mean, I would be lying to you if I sat here and told you that it was just me. I mean, her father was huge in her life. I mean, my mom helped me out a lot. My family, I mean, just everybody really has contributed so that when I'm working and I'm playing basketball, I'm playing basketball. Like, that's the rule. I'm focused on that. And I don't worry about what's happening at home because I know she's well taken care of. And then also when I'm being a mom, I'm not worried about the game that I played. And this has been something that has taken time for sure. But I think those around me will tell you that I've gotten to a better place of being able to separate the two and really understand that, you know, be present, give your energy where you are, and, you know, everything else will take care of itself.
Totally. And I think that's great advice, sort of just following, trusting the process. I know it's said a lot, but it seems to be true, at least most of the time, if you make the proper decisions along your pathway. Another thing I want to make sure I focus on during this interview is obviously you're an incredible basketball player. That takes up a huge portion of your life, but also you do a lot off the court. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that and what your experience has been off the court as well.
Off the court, really was big on continuing to be versatile. In basketball, I didn't want to just stand by the basket. I didn't want to just stand on the perimeter. I wanted to do both. And so that's kind of how I look at life. I want to continue to be versatile because I think my mind can't handle the monotony of doing the same thing. And so I just try to do a lot of different things. And broadcasting came about. My daughter was 9 years old and we'd been overseas for pretty much her entire life. And it was time for her to be settled here and be in her bed every night and go to the same school and the same class and all that every day. And with that being said, she sacrificed for me for so many years while I played in Russia and Turkey and China. And so it was time for me to kind of sacrifice. And so I decided not to go overseas anymore and pursue broadcasting. And then it kind of came about with just doing NBA games and just was a great fit with Turner and myself. And I've been with them for on and off like the first 2 years while I was still going overseas. And then after that, you know, I've been with them the majority of the time. I do still travel, but I travel and do a show 2 days a week in Atlanta, but I'm home for 5 days a week. I mean, I'm picking up, I'm dropping off, I'm doing, you know, basketball, I'm taking her to all her activities. And so I'm home. And so that's kind of the trade-off right now. Started a production company, Baby Hair Productions, trying to get into, you know, creation and things like that. You know, positive films and literature and books and just stories. So that's kind of where I'm at right now in my career. I'm still playing, but, you know, that's during the summer.
And what was the experience like playing a full WNBA season and then going abroad to another country in the off season to go play there? What's that experience been like?
I would not have changed it for the world, but at the time it was hard because you're not getting the lessons at that time. I literally had my daughter and we were on a plane when she was 5.5, 6 months on our way to Russia. And at that point, I'm a young mom, first time mom, taking my daughter to this, you know, to this strange country. And didn't know what to expect. And I got there and it was one of the best experiences ever. I think it made us realize that people are people. It exposed my daughter to a number of different people, different cultures, different languages. Her first school was in Russia.
That's very cool.
And just being able to travel, because I think people that are well-traveled understand the world is an amazing place. And you know, just I want her to understand my daughter basic values, basic expectations. If you work for something, you can get it. And I think being able to go overseas and do that, I think that definitely was the best, you know, teacher for her.
Totally. It seems like once you sort of leave your bubble, you realize the world's a much bigger place than you ever thought. And people live outside of your little circle and other things go on. And I think that's an awesome experience for both you and it sounds like your daughter too, to have been able to live that experience and go to school in different countries growing up. Another thing I want to hit on is a lot of people that listen to this podcast, they are trying to reach, I mean, actually a lot of them are interested in sports, but trying to reach the top of an industry, talent, sport, whatever it may be. One of the things I try and focus on when I interview people who've reached the top of their league, sport, company, whatever it may be, is sort of the steps they got there and what their advice would be to get there. Obviously, hard work and passion is always an important one, but what would be your tip to a high school or college kid trying to reach the top of their industry, whether that be playing college basketball or getting involved in the business industry? What would be your advice on sort of pursuing those dreams?
the pathway and the, I guess, blueprint that I followed, and it just goes back to the people and passion. You're not going to get anywhere by yourself. You can work as hard as you want, but you need to be equipped with some tools from mentors, from different relationships you formed. And even when you reach whatever your quote unquote success is, you still need other people. And I just would really encourage to reach out and to establish relationships and to ask questions. You know, the biggest thing that I didn't understand at the time, when Coach Summit made us sit in the first three rows in the class, I thought it was just so it made it easier for them to mark us as...
See if you were there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it was so that our professors knew our faces and knew us, and you establish a relationship. And you know what? If you're in the first three rows, you're probably going to get called on more, and they're probably going to know you by name. And after class, you probably pass by them and maybe speak. That's important, because when I have a question or I want to feel comfortable being able to approach that person and to ask for something or to ask for help. And, you know, just understanding those things make a huge difference. And I don't think when I was young, I truly understood why we were doing it. But now I understand people being able to place a face with a name and remember you and have some sort of memory with you are probably going to help you when you need it. And so relationships are extremely important in people getting where they want to go.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's a pretty unanimous, widespread thing, is just having a great support network and being a nice person that can interact with people is so valuable regardless of what you're doing. I know you've mentioned Pat Summit a lot. Obviously, she was your coach at Tennessee. Would you consider her one of your greatest mentors when you played there? And what were some of the key things you learned from her besides sitting in the front three rows, having all of this passion? What were some of the life lessons you learned from her?
Well, if you have time, your listeners have to look up the Definite Dozen. It was, you know, principles, leadership principles that Coach Summit lived by, and she expected us to live by. And before every season, we were all assigned one Definite Dozen, and we would have a meeting and we'd all share. And, you know, some of the Definite Dozen, you know, handle success as you handle failure, make hard work your passion. I mean, there's a number we could go into that are basic, but it really is, if you listen and follow, the ladder to success, honestly. But the biggest thing with Coach Summit was, a lot of people live in a world where it's more so do as I say, not do as I do. And that's not what she was about. I mean, everything that she had expectations for us on, she did it 10 times over. I can remember she was getting on me about, you know, practice and things like that. And so I was like, I'm going to show her that I'm going to work hard. So I'm going to get to practice. We had a 6 a.m. practice. I was like, I'm going to get there and be on the court at 5 a.m. And I remember I pulled up to the gym and her light in her office was on, and she was in there and she had already worked out and was like finishing up, I don't know, recruiting letters, and then was going to come to play. Like, it's just stuff like that, that I learned from watching her. Like, her words are and were unbelievable, and they'll live on forever. But watching her and seeing that she actually implements the things that she wants.
She lived by it.
Yeah, she lived by it. And that's the biggest thing that I take with me as a business partner, as a teammate, as a mom. I know Layla is watching everything I'm doing. I can tell her until I'm blue in the face, you know, I want you to do this and this and this. But if I don't show her through my actions, she's not going to respect me, and she's not going to respect what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'll make sure these, the Definite Dozen are in the show notes, but yeah, respect yourself and others, take full responsibility, learn to be a great communicator. There's a bunch of them. So I'll make sure those are linked. I would highly encourage you check them out. Before we wrap it up, and thank you again for coming on in this crazy time, what would be your final, I guess, closing words and advice to people listening on keeping sane, being able to continue to work out, keep good routines during these next few weeks or months?
You know, they say, there's a saying that if you want something done, give it to the busiest person, because they'll figure out a way to get it done. I mean, usually busy people, you know, have a way of making their schedule right. I mean, some of my friends, are some of the busiest people, and they somehow always text me back right away, always email me back. So the biggest thing right now is we have all this free time. What are you doing with it? Are you staying disciplined to what you say your goals are? Because honestly, if you don't finish something now, you're not going to finish
it. Yeah, when are you going to finish it?
You're totally not going to finish it. And I think we live in a world right now where, and I'm guilty of it too, of just excuse. We excuse our way. So we bring excuses to the table before we even try to bring solutions. And that's the biggest thing. I think it's staying disciplined. Like, self-discipline is so hard. As well as not, like, let's bring an option or a solution to the table instead of bringing an excuse. And so I think those are the two biggest things that I want to take away from this time is, and I'm guilty of it too, my closet is still messed up. But I think it's just doing the things that you always said you were going to do.
Totally. If not now, then when, right? It's like, this is the exactly. best chance to get on top or catch up on anything you've been meaning to do. At least that's what I hope. We'll see how disciplined I stay. Candace, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, you can check out Candace on Instagram, Twitter, all of your social media channels. See what she's up to, both on the broadcasting side, basketball side. See some nice dog pictures. I've been seeing a lot of those. Those are always very important. So Candace, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Good luck, okay?
Thank you, you too. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As always, go join our community at join.trendsetterspodcast.com, where you can get some exclusive content, including one question per episode that is not aired publicly, only to people that are part of our community, in addition to some weekly advice and news on the marketing and podcasting industry from me. Also, I'd love to hear your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else. So shoot me an email at jesse@trendsetterspodcast.com. And then you can always reach me on my Instagram at jesse.kay11. Thanks so much, and looking forward to the next one.